This is Pastor Henry welcoming you to another weekend message. Next Friday, May 22nd, North Carolina will complete phase one of the reopening of the state. Depending upon how the data looks, the state may venture into phase two. What that will look like is not quite certain yet. But we will indeed be in touch with everyone when we know something concrete. In the meantime, we need to continue with the safeguards that have been put in place. If you have your Bible, today we will be looking at the 62nd Psalm. The title of the message today is Triumph in Trouble. You don't have to live very long in this life until you run into some kind of trouble. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The fact that we will face trouble in this life is a given. There are all kinds of troubles we can encounter. Some of them we may bring on ourselves. There are some of them, though, that we had nothing to do with. I'm thinking of one right now that has impacted the entire world. I don't think anyone saw this pandemic coming. The people who have contracted the virus and those who have perished as a result of it certainly weren't out looking to be infected. Nonetheless, they have been impacted by a very troublesome situation. So if trouble is inevitable, then we need to be ready to face trouble when it presents itself. I do believe there are proper ways to face trouble, and there are improper ways to face trouble. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that wants instant gratification and instant resolution simultaneously. Because of that, we more often than not will seek a resolution without facing the problem. A person may be quick to self-medicate instead of dealing with an issue that is causing them trouble. Someone may get into trouble and believe that taking their own life or the life of someone else will end their troubles. Really, the issue is, how do we respond to trouble properly? Let's look at Psalm 62 now. This is a psalm of David, and if anyone knew about trouble, it was David. He is an example of one who brought on a lot of his own trouble, but also faced trouble that he wasn't looking for. He had a lot of enemies, and many of them wanted to do him harm. As we go through the psalm, see if you can focus on a main theme. I'm just going to read the psalm. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. This psalm has two musical breaks, one after verse 4 and one after verse 8, so it might be best to look at this psalm in three sections. One word to focus on in the psalm is the word only. It's also translated truly. The Hebrew word is used 6 times here, and 4 of the times it is in reference to God. David wants us to know some things that only pertain to God. Notice right away what David is occupying his time doing. He is silently waiting. If you look through the psalm, you will notice David does not make one petition to God. He is indeed silently waiting on God. He's not trying to convince, cajole, or move God in any direction. How often do we do that when we are facing trouble? It is hard for us to wait patiently on God. The reason David can wait patiently is because he is convinced that his deliverance, and that's the word that's translated salvation, comes from God. David stresses the point in verse 2, stating again that only God is his rock and his deliverance. He also acknowledges that God is his defense. With that kind of defense, what else does David need? We, however, will oftentimes start scheming or planning our way out of troubles instead of waiting on God. I'll get back to this in a little bit, but David adds he will not be greatly moved. The path he has chosen to silently wait on God, he says he will not deviate far from it. The rest of the first section gives an indication of the trouble David was facing. There were people who wanted him dead. They wanted him removed from his position. The people conspiring against him were corrupt and were extremely deceitful. Starting in verse 5, David starts to do some introspection, telling himself some things about his God. He repeats many of the same things he said in the first four verses. While David is silently waiting, he realizes that God alone is his expectation. If he is to get out of the trouble he is in, he cannot put his confidence in people, but in God alone. Again, David declares God to be his rock, his salvation, and his defense. But there's a bit of a twist this time in the next phrase. In verse 2, he states that he will not be greatly moved from trusting the plan to wait on God for his deliverance. Here in verse 6, he unequivocally maintains that he will not be moved. There is no wiggle room this time in his statement of faith. He's not going to be moved, period. God is a refuge that the psalmist acknowledges. He also wants the people to acknowledge God. He tells them to trust in God at all times, and beyond that, to pour out their hearts before him. That is what God wants us to do. Especially in troubling times, he wants us to pour out our hearts to him. If we really believe he is our rock, our refuge, our deliverer, then why wouldn't we reveal our innermost being to him? In the last section, David gives some sound advice to people of questionable character. He points out that people of low degree or high degree are not to be trusted. Only God alone can be trusted. He goes on to say that schemes shouldn't be trusted. People oppress others to get ahead. Some folks rob people to get ahead. He also issues a reminder that if you get rich, don't trust in those riches. David ends the psalm by pointing the worshipers to focus on two attributes of God. First of all, that God is powerful or strong. If he wasn't, he would not have been able to deliver the nation of Israel from the Egyptians. Because he is strong, he can deliver you and me from any and all of our troubles. Secondly, the psalmist reminds us that God is merciful and displays his loving kindness to his people. Without his loving kindness, God's strength wouldn't really help us. He chooses to deliver us because he first chooses to love us. David concludes by declaring God to be a just judge. He knows all the workings of mankind and will hold each one accountable for his or her own life. No one will be blamed for someone else's deeds. When trouble comes our way, we need to take heed to the example David has set forth in Psalm 62. After we have poured out our hearts to God, can we wait silently on him? The main theme of this psalm can be summed up in one word, T-R-U-S-T, trust. There are no other options when it comes to where we are going to turn when trouble comes. There is only God, who is our only deliverer, our only defender, our only decider. He delivers us from our enemies, and through Jesus Christ, he has delivered us from our sin. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Sounds like Paul has read Psalm 62. He is trusting in only one deliverer, who he believes has delivered him in the past, is delivering him at his time of writing, and will deliver him in the future as well. God defends us from our enemies through Jesus Christ, who is our advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So why do we need an advocate in heaven? Because there is a prosecutor in heaven who takes delight in accusing God's people before God himself. Listen to what John records in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 10. "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" He defends us from Satan, who continuously accuses God's people. He is a decider that through Christ will judge the entire world. John 5, 26 and 27 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man." When David wrote Psalm 62, the Lord Jesus Christ was about one millennium away from setting foot on the earth. So what he was writing from his own personal experience with God. But since Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we now have a more fuller picture of what our deliverer looks like. Jesus Christ, the God-man, did face trouble while in the flesh. He had people that hated him to the point of wanting him dead. People were lying about him, distorting his teachings for the purposes of their own agenda. Several times he had to pass through the crowd just to escape. Let's not forget, he faced the devil for 40 days in a barren wilderness with no food. The only person our great deliverer could not rescue was himself. Even while hanging on the cross, the scoffers said something that was very true. In Matthew 27:42, they said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself." He wasn't delivered so that you and I could be. Jesus Christ faced trouble like you and I will never imagine. But he did it for you and me. If he went to the cross to deliver us, why don't we believe he will continue to deliver us from any present trouble? His loving kindness does not waver towards his people, neither does his power. He is willing and able to deliver us when trouble comes. But the question is, will we let him? Yes, trouble will come to us until we reach glory, but if and when it does, we have the only resource we will ever need. May God bless you until next time.